Welcome to The Creative Fault, a weekly podcast that is for creatives and artists. Get your weekly gems and jewels when you want to self-improve, educate, sprouts up your lifestyle, and just get some little bit of entertainment along the way. Welcome to The Creative Fault. The Creative Fault is a spot where you get to hear creative and artistic gems that you can use in your own journey. Are you a creator? Are you an artist? Then this is the podcast for you, where you get to hear interviews, great views and perspectives, and of course, learning moments with a splash of humor and entertainment. Go to the website of The Creative Fault and support us. Buy our merch. Follow us on social media. And of course, become a subscriber to the newsletter. Welcome to The Creative Fault. Hey, you guys, welcome to The Creative Fault. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen or watch. If you're a Patreon member, you have the possibility to watch the podcast, and else you can, of course, always listen to the podcast. So thank you for taking the opportunity to take the time, the space, and your energy to invest yourself into this podcast. Now, like the intro already said, this podcast is for CNAs, creatives and artists, and I'm here to basically share some perspectives, to do that in an entertaining way, but also, you know, to make you think about life and make you think about the things that can be very beneficial to you. The Creative Fault is basically a safe where I collect and store valuable information that can lead you to action, that can lead you to the next opportunity to cooperate with somebody else. It can lead you to grow as a person, as a creative or an artist. And they can also just be good to know factors, good to know things. And, you know, it's coming from a perspective where I'm not talking about fluffy things, right? The general things. I am not always going for the right answer, the politically correct answer, better said, but I'm going for a realistic, open approach where I just pose a question like, did you think about this? Did you think about it in this way? Did you look at it this way? And it can be about things that can be very disturbing, right? They're just unfair and they happen on a day-to-day business, which will be discussed in today's show. But before I go to that, the first thing that I will ask is, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you feeling great? Are things going your way? We are almost halfway of 2022, right? Coming from all the mess, from the global house arrest, aka the pandemic. And we are now halfway this year. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but sometimes I'm still looking at the next day as if something is going to happen and somebody's going to, you know, something from outside is going to determine that I can't do it anymore. Or you have to now stay inside, or sorry, we have a new rule again. This is going to happen, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes I do have those days. And then I'm just really grateful for the fact that, oh my gosh, I get to get up. I get to, you know, start my day, have my meditation, have my breakfast, go to the gym, work out my body, get home and enjoy the rest of the day, or just go out into places without freaking scanning something. I'm very grateful for that. I don't know about you all, but that makes me feel really good. Sometimes I really have to pinch myself because it makes me extra aware of that right, that good, and that unfortunately there are forces at play, there are organizations at play, there are governments at play that have a totally different agenda. But that's going to be a whole different type of show if we really go into detail about that. Nevertheless, you cannot sweep that under the rug. Right, that is happening around us. You can't sweep that under the rug. Another thing that I've been looking at is You know, if something is not working for you, fix it. I'm using the saying, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Well, I'm going to change it. I'm going to say, if it's broken, if it ain't working for you, fix it. Fix it. Because in a lot of situations, whether you're looking from it from a CNA perspective or from just a basic human Zoid perspective on this green planet, whether you look at it from any type of perspective, if something is not working, do not stay into a situation or with a person or with a group of people or in a circumstance that is not working for you. And as I was thinking about that, I came to three aspects that highly likely is keeping us or are keeping us is or are, because it can be one of them, but can also be all three, is keeping us in a situation that we need to move out of a long time ago, or we actually had to fix a long time ago, or we just had to change the strategy a little bit to get some different results. And I wouldn't say that I've been guilty of that, but I definitely have been part of that for myself, for certain things that I've been doing. I definitely have been part of that. So the three aspects that I know that they can be detrimental to you fixing a situation that is no longer really serving you, that's not working for you, is one, money. Money invested. A lot of cases we don't want to change, we don't want to fix it up, because we believe that we have already spent so much money into something. And in a lot of cases, it is so. It is so. I cannot even be saying that it's not that case. It is so that we spend a lot of money into ourselves, in education, into mentorship, into our materials, into our studios, working spaces, into our networks, into the way that we are advertising, promoting, marketing ourselves, into the business, just the operational side of having a business. Because you already know, for the people that already, you know, are true followers for the Creative Vault, I always say that when you go into the creative artistic side, you're definitely going to maneuver yourself as an entrepreneur. You are an entrepreneur. You're a business owner. Okay? Full-fledged. Business owner, full-fledged entrepreneur. You are that. Exactly that. So we do invest a lot of money into that. And it can be really sour when we look at a situation and it's like, it's just not, you know, it's just not working. It's not doing what it needs to do. Listen, take your money out of what is slurping it up and what is inefficient and ineffective and put it into something else. If you needed a sign today, this is the sign. If you needed a sign, baby, this is the sign. Yes, I'm clapping my hands. This is the sign to take your money out of it. Take your money out of that network that is not giving you what it is that needs to be given. Take your money out of an office space that is way too expensive for your budget, but you're sitting there because you want to have a certain allure or an image. Go to something smaller, okay? But if it ain't working, please do not keep spending your money into an office that is not working for you or a studio that's way too expensive. If you're in a situation and the money is just going into a bottomless pit, you might just want to walk away from that pit. Don't be in that pit anymore. Don't put money in that pit anymore. A second aspect of which I know that people will stay in a certain situation without fixing it, knowing that it's not working for them, or stay with people or a person and it ain't working. It's just not working, is due to the fact that they have invested their time. So it could be also money, but can either be time. You're spending a lot of time into it. is the time that you're spending maybe next to a part-time job or a full-time job that you have. It might be the time that you are spending into practicing, maybe the time that you're spending into your education, maybe the time that you're spending into meeting new people and having a wider, more effective network for yourself. It can be all of those things. And at certain moments, and this is maybe a really important footnote that I have to interject here. Not everything that is not instantly giving you a result needs to be fixed. Because then we are talking about instant gratification. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have been doing something for quite some time and it's time to change it up to get a different result, right? It's time to change it up. It's time to go back to the drawing table and work on the blueprint. You don't have to throw the whole blueprint out of the door. Just look at the blueprint and see where there are bottlenecks. And time can be an aspect that will be an obstacle for us to say, well, maybe I need to do it differently. Because we already spent so much time into it. And then the question comes, well, how am I going to get all that time back? Well, you ain't getting it back. You're not. You are not getting all of that time back. Radical acceptance. You have to accept that you have invested time into something that unfortunately has maybe not given you the direct result, maybe some indirect results that could have been very useful, of course. I mean, I won't argue about that, but the direct result of what you would love to see is not coming out of that. It's not. So it might be useful to look at it and say, I might need to fix it. I might need to change it up. Now, before I go to the third aspect, I just want you to be very, very mindful of what I'm saying. I'm not saying throw something out of the door. I'm not saying throw it in the bin. I'm not saying Control-Alt-Delete. I'm not saying delete. I'm not saying erase, eradicate, destroy, eliminate. I'm not saying any of those things. What I'm saying is, if it's not working, you might want to fix it. You might want to fix it. And it can be one small, simple thing. Maybe just something that you have to do differently. Maybe a different partner that you need to be working with. Maybe a different space that you need to be sitting in. Maybe you have to be more mindful of how you're spending your time, aka your energy. With whom, where, and how you do it. Right? Okay, now let's continue to the third aspect. The third aspect is attachment. Attachment. You know that a lot of people will stay in a situation just because they are attached to it. You know that a lot of people will stay with someone who is absolutely toxic, or maybe semi-toxic, and just stay in that situation because they are attached to the person. They are familiar with what they know and scared of the unknown. And I am one of those people too. Absolutely. But what I do grasp is that attachment can be like an anchor. It will anchor you on a certain spot because you are afraid to go for something new and it is unknown to you. And maybe you're thinking about the risks. Maybe you're thinking about, oh, I have to start over again. Oh, maybe I have to invest again. Oh, maybe I have to put time into it again. But listen up. Everything can be risky. Everything can be risky. And in the last podcast where I was talking about the book, where I discussed the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F, the main focus in there is you can't say that things don't matter to you. You determine what matters to you the most. So if something is not working for you and you know you need to change it up, you have to ask yourself then the question, what matters to me the most? My attachment to a person, a situation, a space, or a network that is not fulfilling for me, or it's not giving me what I want, or it's just not working. Or your own growth, your progress, your education, leveling up, getting closer to how it needs to look. What is more important to you? What do you really give a F about? Right? And we can really go into detail, really into depth about this particular subject, because it runs deep. Attachment, y'all, it runs deep. But this is an hour show. Sometimes I go overboard, but it's let's say it's an hour show. It's an hour show. And that can have really deep roots. So these are the three aspects that I want to offer you. Time, money, attachment. Time, money, attachment. Three aspects that might hinder you from not fixing the thing that is not working for you. I hope you aren't going to think about that. I hope you're going to take that along with you. Discuss it with your peers. Discuss it with colleagues, with other artists, with other, you know, CNAs. And maybe you want to think about it by yourself, in solitude, in your own space, and just think about, well, what does that mean for me, to me? And how can I make sure that I will be feeling better next time? Hey, people. So listen, there are, of course, a couple of things that we here at The Creative Vault are absolutely supporting. And one of those things is Warby Parker. Now, Warby Parker is a website where they are offering sunglasses, contact lenses, and, of course, prescription glasses. So for those of you who need a little bit of physical, visual assistance, like myself, I'm a contact lens wearer, and I also have a couple of glasses. Warby Parker is a great example and a great website where you can go to. You have the possibility to try 5 products for free. Yes, for free. You can pick them on the website, and they are being sent to you so that you can pick the ones that you like. You send them back with your choice, and that is the way that you are getting your order. Now go to Warby Parker. They have a beautiful collection of prescription glasses, sunglasses, and contact lenses. Now, this is the one is a little bit for the ladies. I myself love to wear makeup. It is a great way for me just to play around with a couple of colors with my look, and it is a way for me to make myself a little bit more representative in the world, especially when it comes to my appointments, expositions, where I need to be there physically, but also just general in life. And what I like to use is NYX professional makeup. Now, you can find makeup for all shades. Me as a brown girl can find a lot of great shapes, and their makeup is skin friendly. So that means there are no irritations, no bad reactions. Anyone and everyone has the possibility to look great the way that they are with their own personality. So go to NYX professional makeup, and there you will find anything that it is that you need. Now, another brand that has been on my radar for a long time is One Love. Now, One Love offers organic cosmetics, and those can be scrubs, body creams, even shaves for men. Yes, men and women. They take into consideration all the things that are important to have a care and cruelty-free life. Also for the people that are vegan, if you're looking for cosmetics that take into consideration your vegan lifestyle, then One Love is the place to be. Furthermore, they have great products when it comes to your skin, when it comes to your body, and it is for the entire family. So pass it along to niece, nephew, daughter, son, or, you know, to the wifey or to the hubby. Anybody can use the products of One Love. Now, to get to the products, I want you to go to the description box. In the description box, you will find the links, and you can press on those links. By pressing on those links, you will come on the website and order whatever it is that you need for yourself. So let's start with the podcast. Hey, the podcast. Yes, the podcast. I am very excited to be starting with the next subject of the podcast. Now, the title of the podcast, of the head title of the podcast, is Know Your Rights. specifically know your intellectual rights. I put them in parentheses, but I could have just as well could have said know your intellectual rights, but it doesn't really roll off that easy from the tongue. So I say know your rights. Know your rights. But then I put them in parentheses because I do want you to know that it's about your intellectual rights. So it's both. It's absolutely both. And the reason why I want you to think about your rights is due to the fact that I have been in certain situations. Well, not situations. I cannot make it prettier than it is. I have been in certain situations pre-artist time and post-artist time where I did not understand the value of intellectual property. What do I mean with intellectual property? Anything that you can think of, and I'm gonna spit it the way that you can understand it, the way that you can perceive it and really get into your mind. Intellectual property is nothing else than what you are thinking about and creates the creative, inventive, artistic output from your mind. Because we artists just work a little bit different than, for instance, a surgeon, a lawyer, a doctor, etc., etc., an administrative worker. It just is different. We create something here in the mind, and from that comes a creative artistic output that is not, you know, it's not a standardized way of working. It's not, you know, it doesn't have a surface level agreement or something like that, an SLA. There is no know your customer, know your client aspect into it, which you would see in the banking. There are no rules and regulations when it comes to onboarding that idea into the space that you are working in. It works different for people that are CNAs. So intellectual property, anything that comes from straight from your dome, and you create a painting, you create a video, you create a photography, you create anything that is. And it can be, of course, people that are inventors. It can also be people that perform. Your performance is intellectual property. When you paint, you create a painting that is intellectual property. You created a good, could also be a surface, but let's say in this case, it's a good that came from your intellect. Very simply said, if you are a photographer, your photos is intellectual property, but it doesn't stop. And I really want to stress this. It doesn't stop with the creation from the mind to something that physically or intangibly manifests. It can also be the process in between. It's also part of your intellectual property. It leads up to intellectual property, but it's also part of your intellectual property. The effect that your intellectual property will give has on the culture, the peoples, society, art, entertainment, fill in the blank, is also part of your intellectual property. Might not be directly, but it's just ingrained into that. So even though it can be expanded to those perimeters, for this podcast, we're going to say, let's solely look at the output of it. Let's solely look at the output of what intellectual property is. And that can be, you know, somebody who writes and, you know, he produces a book, intellectual property. That is his intellectual property. And intellectual property is not something that you have to fight for. You automatically have it the moment it is created. You have it the moment that it's created. All my paintings are mine. It's my intellectual property. And there are, of course, there are a lot of similarities when it comes to the law concerning art and intellectual property and creativity. There are a lot of laws. But when you look at the gist, of why that law is there, is there to protect the artist. It's there to protect the artist by saying your creation is your intellectual property and it is yours until you decide to sign it off in a contract or to sign it away in an agreement. But it is yours. So firsthand, it is yours. Now, why am I starting with this particular aspect of intellectual property? Well, I was reading an article, and as I was reading an article on the website ArtNet, I love the website ArtNet because they do have a couple of great articles when it comes to visual art and the visual art world. So it's very specific. It's a very specific dynamic field of where it is. So there was an article of an instance that happened in 2021. And without making it too difficult, this, in a summary, this is basically the outlook. There's a commissioner, so somebody who gives an assignment to a creative or an artist to create something. You have the artist, and they come to an agreement. However, what has been agreed upon and with whom it has been agreed upon is the question. Now, I very straightforward told you what intellectual property is. And in this particular case, that is one of the questions that comes out of this article. Who has the right to the intellectual property and how has this agreement been constructed? There are a lot of areas that can be black and white in this, but there are just as many areas that are just so gray. They are very, very gray. And that supports my intention in this podcast to really want you to educate yourself about intellectual property and how you can protect yourself, how you strengthen yourself, and how you protect your energy. Remember, protect your energy. And also understand something else. But we'll get to that at the end. Why, if you get the whole story, you will understand that intellectual property will stand for something else as well. So here's the case. There was an advertising agency, McCain. And they were hired, approached by State Street Global Advisors to create a marketing campaign. Remember the name State Street Global Advisors. And for the purpose of this podcast, it will be abbreviated to State Street. Okay, so I won't be saying State Street Global Advisors. That's a little bit too much for me. I'm just going to say State Street. Anyway, they have given the advertising agency McCain an assignment to create a marketing campaign. And the marketing campaign was for their new index called SHE, a gender diversity index called SHE, an exchange traded fund that invests in women-led companies. So the advertising agency McCain commissioned an artist named Crystal Fisball to create a sculpture. And that sculpture was there to promote that particular marketing campaign. It stood for the unfair treatment that a lot of women are getting when it comes to be a part of higher positions in organizations. Also just on the workforce when it comes to the payment that they're getting, but also just to promote women to be having their own companies, women-led companies. So everything in the sight of encouraging and empowering women to grow and to develop and to create their own dreams that they want to create. So the index, the gender diversity index, needed a marketing campaign. So the agency said, you know what, we are going to give a commission from State Street to let Crystal Fistball create a sculpture for us. And State Street paid for the cost, including requiring a permit of the city of New York, because there's where the statue is residing. You need a permit to place a statue. So State Green said, okay, we're going to cover all those costs. We're going to cover the cost when it comes to promoting. We're going to cover the cost when it comes to anything needed for the statue to stand where it needs to stand. Now, there's another thing that they got. They asked the creator of the sculpture, Crystal Fistball, if they could use the image, so the image of the sculpture, of the statue. They asked her if they could use it, and she said, of course, and as a matter of fact, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving you the right to use the image in perpetuity, which basically means forever. Free of charge, in perpetuity, free of charge. Now, people, that is a long time. Forever. Free of charge. Here's the thing. The image gets spread, of course, through social media. People get to see it. People hear about the Gender Diversity Index. The marketing campaign is a huge success. And the image of the statue called Fearless Girl goes viral. And consequently, people grow fond of the image, which is, of course, a great, great plus for State Street. Because first of all, they have the right to the image. And secondly, they can use it for free. But that also means that if somebody else wants to use the image, they have to pay the royalties from that image to State Street and not to Crystal Fistball. Just something that I want you to think about, a perspective that I really want you to think about. If someone else is using that image, they are not paying Crystal for that image. They are paying State Street for the image because they have the right to it. Crystal gave them the right to it. So she has no claim on the royalties from that. And seeing that this image, so the image is viral and went viral in that time, you can already imagine that they can make a lot of money from the image. Another great aspect in this story is that, you know, Fearless Girl was installed on International Women's Day in 2017, and it actually promotes the intention on which the statue was created. The intention was to promote, to empower women, of course, to do that on the International Women's Day. That was in 2017. It took place in 2017. And also to promote that index that is incorporated with that whole idea of empowering women and also having it on International Women's Day. It was located in New York's Bowling Green Park, staring down Wall Street's Charging Bull. Now, Fistball's sculpture was relocated to its current position in 2018, at which time State Street secured a 3-year permit. So from 2018 to 2021, State Street had the permit to have the statue in front of their building. It relocated from the park, New York's Bowling Green Park, to a new location. And they had it for 3 years. And what State Green has been doing is that they have been extending the permit each 3 months so that they can have the statue at the place that they wanted to have. But now, here's a very important, here come a number of important aspects that I really want you to think about. First of all, It started out to empower women to promote the index, their new index, that will help women, women-led corporations, and it was done on International Women's Day. So I hypothetically coming to the conclusion that in the agreement that has to be specified, the reason for the commission, so the reason why Crystal Fishbowl has been given the assignment to create the statue was for those purposes. Now in 2018, they relocate it to another place in front of their building. State Green relocates it in front of their building. It no longer is serving that intention it first had. It now becomes part of their corporate brand. It becomes part of their image. So it doesn't serve the purpose that it hypothetically could have agreed upon in the contract. Now I say hypothetically because I don't have the contract. I don't have the contract. The contract is also, of course, not being shared publicly. But hypothetically, the purpose changes. The intention of it changes. It's not for the same intention anymore. It now supports the brand, the corporate brand of State Green. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Now, Landmarks Preservation Commission, who gives out the permit to State Street, they voted to renew the permit for another couple of years, right? To keep it on its current location from the stock exchange for another couple of years, another 3 years. Landmarks Preservation Commission is basically an organization that determines where it gets to be located. So they felt like, you know what, just, you know, based on where it is and the permit and the reason why the permit has been given to us, been asked of us, we feel, and that might be a committee board, of course, a commission, so there must be a board. They said, well, you know what? We all agree that it needs to be standing over there. That's a great place for it to stand. Absolutely wonderful. So they decided to say, yes, we would like to give you another 3 years to do that. But there was a problem, a huge problem. Crystal Fishbowl saw, of course, the reaction that her statue, and I'm going to emphasize again, this is just coming from, I have to say, my personal view, which is, of course, it's kind of ambiguous right now, from a personal view, from artistic, creative view, it's her statue. She created that. That is her intellectual property. So she created that statue, saw the response of it, and also got a lot of attention for it, right? If you've, as a creator, you as an artist or creative, create something that gets a lot of traction, gets a lot of attention, she felt, well, you know what? I can make replicas for this. And then other organizations, maybe other companies, can have the possibility to put this statue somewhere to support the intention of why the statue has been made. So she wanted to create 25 other replicas. And there is where State Street said, hold on, young lady. You will do no such thing. They said, in the contract, Crystal Fishbowl gave away her intellectual property rights. So this statue is ours. We don't only get to determine where it's located by acquiring a permit, but we also get the right to not only the physical placement of the statue, but the statue itself and how the statue is being used. Now, Crystal is saying the opposite. Crystal is saying, that's absolutely not true. I've never signed away or signed off my intellectual property. Secondly, I've been already very gracious and generous to you to give you the right to the image of the statue. So not the statue, the intellectual property of the statue, but the image of the statue into perpetuity. So forever, you can take the four of ever. for free. I've been very generous for that. And she also extended, of course, her gratitude for the fact that they were willing to pay for the permit, which is a lot of money. It's stated in New York, people. So it costs a lot of money to be there. So she understands, of course, how grateful she is and what kind of great opportunity she was given to create such a statue. And when you look at the statue, absolutely a beautiful statue. Fearless girl. Go and look it up. Fearless girl. And there's where the problem lies. One of the issue lies. Who has the intellectual properties? Who has ownership of the intellectual properties? Now, one of the things that Crystal says, because of this particular situation, which has led to, of course, not discomfort by the with the artist, but also in a law suit, a battle in court, which costs a lot of money. And try to sue a big corporation like State Street, which is in the mecca of stock exchange, money, and what have you not. That is heavy. That will definitely weigh on your shoulders. Because when it comes to the magnitude of the artist in relation to the corporation, that is times X. That is times X. And you can imagine that for any artist, for any creative to be in a legal battle with a corporation of that magnitude, that is very daunting. It's very daunting. And they're still in that battle, by the way. What she's saying is, I have a problem, and I quote, this is her quote, I have a problem with the work not being used widely by the first group of organizations that are aligned with the ideals behind it. And she said that during a conference that was in 2021. Crystal is being prohibited by State Street to create replicas, and the question becomes, who has the ownership of the intellectual property rights? Awful, awful, awful. Now, what Crystal Fishbowl has done is that she has created a number of NFTs in line of the thought and the merit of Fearless Girl. And it's not really going the way that it's going. So if there is any way that you can support Crystal Fishbowl, please go and buy one of her NFTs so that she can use the, you know, she can recoup that money to support herself into this legal battle. If there is one thing that we can do, I think that we can definitely do that. We can at least give her the possibility to help her in such a way. Another way of helping her and supporting her might be just sharing this article. I will put a link of the article on my website. I will also try to put it here in the caption, in the description box of the podcast. So please have a look at it and see how you can share this. Share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, share it LinkedIn, share it wherever you can share it, because I do believe that this needs a lot of attention. And the reason why I believe that it needs a lot of attention is because of the following one. Before I continue, let's pay some bills and go to the commercials. Okay, so those were the commercials. Paid some bills. If you would like to buy any of the products that have been mentioned here in the commercials, please go into the description box. You will find links to that. I would say go and let have. Now let's continue with the article that we just have discussed, where Crystal Fishbowl, a artist that created the Fearless Girl statue in New York for State Street is now facing a legal battle against this big corporation. And it all comes down to the question, who has ownership of the intellectual property rights? Who has say over that? Now, one thing that they're still waiting on is another party, another organization to give out their say into this particular matter, and that is the Public Design Commission. And they weigh into the necessity of the artwork itself, including its context and symbolic value. Let me repeat, the context of the statue and the symbolic value of the statue. Now, why do I express and emphasize these two so strongly? Here's the thing. Reading the article, and I've read that article a couple of times. I really had to read the article a couple of times because it is, like I already said, it's not a black and white story. It's not a black and white matter. It would have been easy if it was a black and white matter, but the mere fact that this is now being put into, you know, public display and that people can read about it shows me that there has and is some ambiguity about the way the contract, the agreement has been proposed and maybe also signed by both parties. This is a perspective that I would like to share with you. I am of the opinion that Crystal Fishbowl might have still right, hypothetically, she still has the right to the properties. The intellectual property of the statue is still hers. Now, what I also believe is that there is an implied, I have to be correctly about this, that there is an implied, now what I also understand about this is that artists should also understand that there is an implied copyright license. So that means a commissioner in this day state, Green, State Street, they do have the right to use the statue, but it has to be for the purpose for which it was commissioned. So the question here becomes, what was the initial purpose of the statue? Now let's go back to what the first intention was, what the initial intention was. The initial intention was to promote their index, Gender Diversity Index She. That was the intention. It was a marketing campaign. So just very bluntly, Crystal created a statue to promote a index. That's what it was intended for. Hypothetically, that should be then very clear that State Street could then only use it for that purpose for which it was commissioned. If it wanted to use it for something else, let's say its corporate brand, then the initial purpose is no longer sufficing. It's no longer being implemented. And Crystal would have every right to say to State Street, listen, we came to this agreement. You now want to use it for your corporate image because, first of all, you're relocating it from where it first was in the New York Park to now in front of your building. It no longer is serving that. So we have to renegotiate about how this contract is now being constructed. We need to renegotiate about that because, first of all, I have the intellectual property rights to it anyway. I created that. So what is very important in this factor is to understand, was that still the intention that need to be proved actually by State Street, or Crystal has to prove that State Street was not using the statue anymore for which it wasn't intended in the first place. So there is where that question might be. I think that there is a very important aspect into it. Another important aspect of it is, what has been agreed upon when it comes to intellectual property? What is intellectual property in this commission? Now, in the beginning, I already stated it could be anything that comes from, indirectly from, a creative or artistic output that you created. So in this particular case, the image of the statue could be a photo, could be a poster, could be a drawing, I don't care. The image of the statue is also intellectual property. So she gave that, but nowhere has it been stated that she gave away the rights to the intellectual property, the copyrights to that statue. She basically could have said, she basically just can make the replicas of it. Hypothetically, if that has not been discussed in the contract, she can make the replicas as many times as she wants to. And State Street cannot do a damn thing about it. But the reason why State Street might want to prohibit her to do that, hypothetically, could be because it is damaging to their corporate brand. Because they already surpassed that whole mark for what it was intended. They went from promoting it through a marketing campaign for their index to now being part of their corporate brand, standing in front of the corporation. It's part of their corporate image. When you pass and you see the fearless girl standing there, it's now part of their corporate image. It might indirectly point into the direction where they have an index, but it's not no longer intended for that. It's now part of their corporate image. Another issue in this, and that is not being discussed, of course, in the article, but this is something that I really want to interject, and that is, it shows how important it is that artists and creatives need to understand that you do not, under any circumstances, just give away your copyrights, your intellectual property rights. You don't give them away. You don't just give them away. Not even if somebody commissions you to do that. If it hasn't been stated in a contract, if it hasn't been stated in an agreement, you do not give them away. You do not give them away. You have to be very mindful of how you construct that agreement and a contract. It has to be placed in the contract how it can be used, when it can be used, where it can be used, by whom it can be used. And if there is a breach, what the consequences and the penalties might be for that breach. That is extremely, extremely important. So I don't know what will happen in the case of Crystal Fishbowl. I will be following this because I think that the outcome of this particular, of this case will be very helpful to a lot of creatives and artists. Another aspect of this story is, of course, that State Street felt that they wanted, they have given they asked for the permit, they paid for the permit, they pay for the statue. So they have the physical ownership of the statue. They have the physical ownership of the statue. But you having physical ownership of a statue still doesn't mean that you have copyrights. It still doesn't mean that you have rights to the intellectual property. It doesn't. It doesn't, people. It really doesn't. You do not have them in your possession. Hypothetically, no. But in practice, in real life, we don't know either. Because we do not know what has been agreed in this, in this contract. And that makes it so hard. That's why I also said it's not so black and white. It's not black and white. There are a lot of gray areas. There are a lot of aspects, there are a lot of perspectives where people can jump into and just go with the flow of it, and probably it will be against or for Crystal Fishbowl. I think it's a very courageous thing for Crystal to say, I'm not going to be defeated by this, and she created her series of NFTs in line and in the merit of Fearless Girl. Again, if you can support her, please do so. The question here is, who has, the copyrights? Who has the intellectual property? Who has that? This is the bonus content of the podcast. To get access to this bonus content, you can join the Patreon or become a subscriber to the mailing list. Go to the website of the Creative Vault to find more information on how you can gain access to the bonus content. Okay, so I have mentioned a couple of methods that people can use when it comes to using their intellectual property. If you are a Patreon subscriber, then you already know what those methods are because you get to see the whole recording of the podcast. If you're not a Patreon subscriber and you're listening to this via the website that I have or on any other podcast platform like Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or podcast platforms like Spotify, then you only get to hear, you know, the version without this bonus material. So if you want to hear the bonus material, subscribe, go to the website, thecreativevault.mcjstudio.me. And there's a whole page of how you can get to the bonus material, why you should get to the bonus material, and how it can help you. But only for the people that have subscribed to either the podcast and or to the Patreon, they get to hear the whole podcast. They get to see the podcast. So if you didn't hear it, I suggest that you go to Patreon. So we are coming to the end of this show, this podcast. I hope that you enjoy it. Now, before I leave, I have some ending thoughts after the commercial. Do you have a product or a service that fits an audience that is highly creative, very artistic, smart, intelligent, and loves a lot of humor and entertainment? Contact us. We would love to work with you, and maybe you could be partnering with us by offering your services and your products to our audience. We have a lot of information for you. So the best thing that you can do is go to our website. Hit us up with an email, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are always looking for great partners with whom we can work to offer our audience the best of the best and help them develop their careers and their own lifestyle. Do you think that this is a good fit for you? Contact us. Go to the website, hit us up with an email, and we'll contact you. See you soon. Final thought of this particular matter is that, listen, personally, on a personal level, I feel the unfairness. I just see the unfairness of this particular matter where somebody gets to create something and you're commissioned for that. You have an agreement with that and you see something else happening and you just know deep in your heart that it is not fair. And it's like, I feel the unfairness of it. It's not fair. Now, the question whether it is just, that is something that has to be battled out in court. Because I'm not a lawyer, and I've talked about it hypothetically, of course, a couple of questions where people need to be thinking about some perspectives that need to be taken into account. I'm not a lawyer, though. So it is hard to know what is just, what has been agreed upon, and is that in a just way being implemented, being executed? So it goes a little bit further than the feeling of what is fair. It goes to, according to law, what has happened, what cannot happen, what needs to be penalized, what does not need to be penalized, what has been agreed upon, and what has not been agreed upon. So my conclusion here is that I want you artists, I want you creatives, my CNAs, when you're listening to this, when you're watching this, please, 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 pretty please, when you are being approached by an organization or a brand and says, listen, we love your work, this is an agreement, this is a contract, can you sign this? You better not take no pen, no pencil. and start writing your name on that dotted line. You dig into that contract, back and forth, forth and back. And if there's something that you don't like about it, state it. I also want you to remember that you have, when you create something, you have the copyrights, you have the intellectual property rights. It's yours. Don't sign off those rights. And in the bonus material, I explain why you should not sign off the rights. But do not sign off those rights. Don't do that. Do not do that. Think about it. And if you do not have the expertise, if you don't have the insight of what is being stated in a contract, look around in your network who you could contact. Look around in your network who could help you get a good understanding of what is being expressed. I will definitely keep her in my prayers, Crystal Fishbowl, that you will get your due justice. And that a lot of people will go into your, you know, buy your NFTs and will help you at least in court fees, because I can only imagine how high those will be. In the article, she also stated that she has not been productive. She hasn't really been creative because this is just just taking up her time. You know, it's taking up her time. It's taking up her space and her money. So I'm keeping you in my prayers, and I hope that you will get not just a just way, but also a fair way in this matter, in this case. Okay, well, that is it. That is all that I had to discuss in this particular podcast. I hope that you find it very entertaining, but also, you know, educational. This is a subject that it really sparked my interest, and it gets me, you know, it gets my attention. It definitely gets my attention, because I'm all for the rights of, you know, artists and creatives and CNAs. And I believe that we all should be aware of that and take that along in our journey. I want to thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope to see or hear you next time in the podcast. Leave behind a comment if there's something that you would like to know, share. I would love to hear, read, or see that. Follow us on social media and go to our website where you can find merchandise. Yes, people, merchandise. So go over there, and I will see you soon in the next podcast. Have a good one, y'all. Bye-bye. Do you have a product or a service that fits an audience that is highly creative, very artistic, smart, intelligent, and loves a lot of humor and entertainment? Contact us. We would love to work with you, and maybe you could be partnering with us by offering your services and your products to our audience. We have a lot of information for you, so the best thing that you can do is go to our website. Hit us up with an email, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are always looking for great partners with whom we can work to offer our audience the best of the best and help them develop their careers and their own lifestyle. Do you think that this is a good fit for you? Contact us. Go to the website, hit us up with an email, and we'll contact you. See you soon. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it and that you got everything that you needed out of it. Now, I have one favor before I leave, and that is that you support the platform. You can go to the website, which you will find here in the caption space, and you can go to the website to be a subscriber to the newsletter. Now, why do you need to be a subscriber to the newsletter? There you will find each and every single type of information that I do not share on social media. So if you become a subscriber to the newsletter, you will always get extra footage, extra content, and of course, extra perspectives and views. And who doesn't want to have that? You can also support us by buying our merch. Please go to the website and buy something that you might like in our store. And of course, you can follow us on social media. Go to our Twitter page and follow us. Share with us what you liked. Share with us what you would like to see or hear in the next episode. If you have any questions and comments, feel free to share that with us. Hope to see you in the next episode of The Creative Folks. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Your attention has been very much appreciated. Make sure to follow and subscribe to our social media platforms. See you next week.